91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
First of the Cape Drive Time, welcome to the show. 0829-913-913 is the WhatsApp line. Feel free to query, comment, and or criticize. Swiss voters have narrowly approved a proposal to ban face coverings in a decision that critics have branded as Islamophobic and sexist. The vote comes after years of debate in Switzerland following similar bans in other European countries, despite Muslim women wearing full face veils being an exceptionally rare occurrence in Swiss streets. But Muslim groups have condemned the vote and said they would challenge it. And in fact, in front of me on screen is a rather interesting poster. It's got a woman in niqab with very angry eyes and raised eyebrows. Okay. And it says, extremism stoppen. And it says, verheilungsverbot, ja. Okay, my German, not very good. But we now chat to Taiba Mohammed, member of Les Foulards Violets, the Purple Headscarves, a feminist Muslim women's organization in Switzerland. Taiba Mohammed, assalamu alaikum, welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you for inviting me. So, as you said, and you almost got the name right, so it was perfect. So, yeah, as you said, we are a feminist organization based in Geneva, Switzerland, where we fight for the right of Muslim women to wear the headscarf without being, one, discriminated and without facing Islamophobic violence and hatred. So at first we were quite, had some doubts on whether we were legitimate to enter the public debate because none of us was wearing the burqa. And our main concern was to give the voice to the ones that were directly concerned, so the women wearing the burqa in Switzerland. So we did some research and we found some women that were ready to share their experience and explain also why they went to wear the burqa. And we entered this campaign because of that, and also because we wanted to bring facts and our expertise on these women also, and to give them the voice. And also, we believe that the state should not say to women what to wear, whether it's a miniskirt or a burqa. So after that, we built a strong coalition of feminist organizations, mainstream organization and anti-racist organization, and campaigned really, really hard this last couple of months. And we've been quite successful in tightening the gap. So a few months ago, the proposal by the far right was to be approved by a majority in the country. And we managed to tighten the gap while until now. So now, as you know, maybe the results, the final results were 51.2% of the population voted yes to the proposal. So as you can see, there is only 2% of the gap left. So we lost, but we really, really think that there is a clear sign that we are going to build a strong coalition among the progressive parties, the organization, feminist organization, to fight xenophobia, extremism, sexism, and Islamophobia in Switzerland.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like the whole burqa niqab thing is being used as an excuse, as a cover, no pun intended, against people who just happen to be Muslim. It is significant, as you said, the vote 51.2% to 48.8%, so very, very close call. But, looking at the situation, I think we have to make sort of explain to people who are listening to us that the burqa and the niqab and the hijab, that there are different ways that women dress themselves. Hijab is just like a normal scarf, face appears. Niqab is a veil, and the burqa, which we don't see very often, is, according to your definitions, a full body, covers the entire face, mesh screen, covers the eyes. So, you know, those are the basic sort of categories of head coverings. Do you think the reason why this can be seen as grossly Islamophobic is because it doesn't seem as if many Swiss women wear the burqa or the niqab. Yes, many of them wear the hijab, but not what the Western people would call the veil.
So, yeah, so basically what we did also is to write an argumentation and where, and we exposed the differences between these three different attire that women, that Muslim women can wear. And basically, like you said, there is only 30 women in Switzerland that wear the burqa. And it was proven by, you know, research. And it's about 0.0035% of the Swiss population, which is really, really small. And what we think is that behind, there is an aim behind this burqa ban, and what was aimed behind the minaret ban that passed 10 years ago is to exclude and stigmatize the Muslim community in Switzerland and to further marginalize these women, you know, further the marginalization of these women wearing the burqa and also the Muslim community as well. And what we fear is that this tendency of stigmatizing women clothes and Muslim women attire are going to fuel a movement towards the headscarf. That's what we want to fight against. And for us, you know, 2 years ago when we began in 2019 until today, we know that it's a long-term fight. And, you know, like we said on television also in Switzerland, and we asked the people that represent the far right, is that we know that the next step for you guys is the hijab. And we really want to this population to understand that whether it's the burqa, the hijab, or whatever, women should have the right to choose for their own decision on their bodies. And that's why also the feminist strike of Geneva was really with us and said that this proposal was completely sexist.
I mean, if one looks at any Muslim community anywhere in the world where there are minorities, and I can include South Africa in this category as well, United Kingdom, France, etc., where you will find Muslim women wearing a variety of headgear, a variety of ways of dressing. In South Africa, for example, we have women from Somalia. They dress differently to people who've been born in Cape Town, who dress differently, people from another group. So it's a difficult thing, isn't it, in that even within minority groupings where you get people from different parts of the world, that they have different traditions. And surely, if a country is truly democratic, all these different traditions need to be respected, whether a woman doesn't wear a scarf, whether she chooses to wear one or not.
Yeah. No, that's completely our goal, is that we aim to represent diversity, and also we want this diversity to be respected. We fully understand that there is maybe some people that don't get our choices, but their job is not to understand our choices, but to respect it. And we want to ensure the right as a Swiss citizen to all the women, the Muslim women, to be able to wear whatever they want, and to also be able to practice their religion, because it's their basic rights. And that's why also we said during this campaign. And so as you said, there is a huge diversity here in Geneva, in Switzerland, and it should be understood and it should be respected. And that's really our aim as the Foulard Violet, to also represent this diversity.
Now, one thing that comes across as quite hypocritical, if not ironic, is that in France, for example, where there are a lot of Catholic nuns, massive moves against the headscarf, but nuns seem to be exempt from this ruling. Do you see the same kind of hypocrisy in Switzerland, where other population groups are left alone, but Muslims are picked on?
So as I said, 10 years ago, they decided to ban also the minaret.
Right.
So what we see is that there is a tendency to stigmatize women clothes and especially Muslim women attire. And we know that there is not really a huge difference between the nuns and the Muslim, you know, what they wear as a veil and what we wear as a headscarf or different kinds of veil. And there is some states in Switzerland that are not secular and where it's, you know, not prohibited. But here in Geneva, it's a special case, but we really highlighted that this fact. And again, our goal is that every diversity should be respected, even the, you know, and there is no difference to make between women that decide to wear it for these kinds of reasons, for a different reason. We decide to wear it because of religious reasons, and we want this to be respected. That's all.
Now, the interesting thing about the vote, it's been called a yin vote, a mixture between a ya and a nein. Ya meaning mm-hmm. yes and nein meaning no. Where does that come from? It does seem that even the vote did go down by 2%, that even in spite of that, there seems to be a lot of ambivalent feelings, feelings where people, yes or no, is in fact their response, which is one of confusion.
So basically is that in the beginning of this this campaign, we saw that there was a lot of people that had intention to vote yes to the ban and that had no information about what they were actually voting about. And that was our aim to, you know, inform people, inform them about the different kinds of what is a burqa, what is a niqab, what is a hijab, what differences there is between these three, and what was the aim of this ban and why the Muslim women were stigmatized by it and not other groups. So that's what, you know, there was a huge work on information to make, and that's really why we decided to step up and to do this argumentation and to actually give the voice to women that were directly concerned by the ban.
What was the response when people were presented with the facts? Did a lot of people change their mind, or were they just as stubborn as they were before they were approached or explained to?
So I certainly think that there is people that stubborn to their, you know, and stick to their ideas, but there is also a lot of people that change their mind, and that's why we said that for us, we lost, but not completely, because when we began, there was a stat that gave us a 68% of yes to the proposal, and when we finished, the final results, like I said, was 51.2%. So at almost 15% of we actually tightened the score, really, and we see that a lot of people change their minds. And even when we finished the campaign, the day of the results, we had some calls, and people told us that normally, for example, their parents voted for the right, and this time they decided to vote for against it, and they were really upset by the results. So these kinds of calls made us really proud, and we know that a lot of people change their minds, and a lot of people are more informed now, and we see the differences between this votation and 10 years ago when it came to the minarets.
So what does it mean now that Switzerland has narrowly voted in favor of banning face coverings in public? Does this now become law? Where does it go from here?
No, so it's actually in the constitution now. That's why it was federal. So it wasn't about the states. It was about Switzerland entirely. So it's in the constitution now. The women, and it's actually a real, like, a law that is marked in the constitution. So that's why also it was really important for us to speak up, and that's also why a lot of people were actually shocked by this proposal.
So what does it mean if somebody wears a niqab or a burqa in public? What can they go to jail? What's going to happen?
As I said, the ban is to, like, they have no right to wear it in public now. So no burqa for the women. The 30 women that were in Switzerland are now, they cannot wear it in public. And so it's basically a ban. No problem.
Will they defy the laws?
Excuse me?
I say, will the woman defy the law? Will they go out with it in public? Because,
as we saw in France 10 years ago when they voted against the burqa and for banning the burqa, there is research that shows that a lot of women decided to wear it to fight against the ban. So a lot of women decided to wear the burqa to fight against it. And we don't know as it's going to happen in Switzerland. We will see. We cannot really, you know, project ourselves. But we certainly think that these women are going to try maybe to find another way.
Taiba Mohammed, a member of Les Foulards Violets, Purple Headscarves, a feminist Muslims organization in Switzerland, talking to us about a ban on face coverings. The vote very, very narrow. Only 52% voted for it, 48% against it. A narrow call, but not very good for Muslims in Switzerland. Taiba Mohammed, thank you for chatting to us.
Thank you for receiving me.
Drive Time 91.3. Always.